of what is written in the Bible, but ministers of the Spirit, because the letter kills, but your Spirit will give life. Take my voice, Father. I have no idea what it is, God, how it is you want to use this, Lord, but I pray for your guidance. Father, I pray that the word your people will hear will be to build them up. We apply to their lives. I pray, Father, that you please speak with us. We need food. But your word says, man will not live by food alone, but rather man will live by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Lord, please glorify your word amidst us. Let it be wonders, signs. I believe in you for miracles. I believe in you. I pray, God, that this will be no ordinary few minutes. Father, I strip myself, and we strip ourselves as a body of everything that Christ, who died for us, that his voice may be heard. Give us the courage to follow through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'd like to welcome us to the presence of the Lord once again. Thank God for his grace and glory. I'm reminded every time I stand to speak that this is the most important job that any man could ever have. We have a chance to reiterate the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God they are words of Christ and not our words. Thank God, so that our faith will not rest on the excellence of preaching or the excellence of men, but our faith will rest rather on the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ. And I just want to, before we go on, Sunday service is about many things. But once again, before we go into the routine, we've been through our routine. Blessed be the Lord. The Lord has helped us. There's a time we come to church, we check in, we get dressed, check into our cars, come into church, sing the praise and worship, hear the sermon, say the grace, go back home, come back. I want us to pause and just capture this moment. We are really indeed privileged to be alive. We are at this moment privileged to have one chance, yet another chance, to, on this side of eternity, have a relationship with God. We are privileged to hear God's word. There will come a time when the Bible will mean nothing anymore to us. It is written for the living. We are privileged to say, Abba, Father. Many would have wanted to be praying this morning, but they cannot. Many who are alive do not even know to pray. So not because we're any better than them, but because of the grace of God, we're called to be Christians. And it is easy to take it for granted. But I want you to just, in your heart, bless the Lord. To be in church this morning, in of itself, is a great blessing. There are people who are sick. Even if they are not sick, there are people who are born into Islam, sworn to Islam. And the only difference is that God opened our eyes to see the truth. We have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many people who are born into Christianity who are still sleeping in their beds this morning because the way of life has been shut out to them. So I just want us to first be grateful and to bless the Lord in our heart for the privilege to be alive and to be Christians. Christ paid the price that we may be Christians. So this morning, I'd like to share briefly once again the words of our Lord Jesus Christ with us. At times, we live our lives by known principles of men. We live our lives by the necessary sayings of our time. If you work hard, then you will prosper. We have maxims. We live our life by the narratives of the political environment that we live in. The economy is good, so we're good. The economy is down, so we're down. Many times, if we are going to admit, the things that influence us are not things of faith. But when we read God's word, it helps to set our minds on faith. Because the Bible says, God's ways are not our ways, And God's thoughts, He does not think the way we think. And as I've been reading and praying and meditating and living in Christ, I've discovered, whether willfully or not, the way that the Father leads you are not the ways that you always want to go. The way that you expect things will turn out are almost never the way they turn out. And as I've been reading in scriptures, even the lives of those who walked with Him dearly, His ways, His methods are almost never the methods that make sense to men. But they always work out. Say amen.
Amen.
They try you, they test you, but God's ways are always the best ways. I'd like us to read a few scriptures, and I pray that we'll be comforted in this short period of time by God's word. I love to hear what Jesus has to say about different situations. So He was preaching a sermon. It's a sermon that we all know, in Luke chapter 6. And I'd just like us to examine a few of the things that Christ said, which Jesus is saying to us. There are some sitting here this morning, and you are wondering, this is not, or rather, what will the future hold? This is not where I expected I'll find myself. Things are difficult. Things might actually be easy for you, but just living life itself is very draining to you. It's very useful to always hear and listen to the shepherd's voice. There's a lot of noise in the world. The nightly news is noise. The noise of your ambition, the voice of your ambition is noise. There are many legitimate, many good things that cloud out the voice of redemption in our lives, the voice of faith. Yet, the Bible says, faith comes by what? And hearing what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing strictly by the word of God. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 6. And we'll start reading from verse 20. The Bible says, then he, and by he here, it's talking about who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He lifted up his eyes towards his disciples, which means he had his eyes down. Please look at me for a moment. The ways of Jesus. You know, I'd always said, when you study the Bible, let every phrase, let every line, picture it in your mind. There's more lesson at times in the untold things of scriptures than in the expressed things. Here was the Lord and Master looking down. When you see a rabbi looking down, the rabbi is deep in thought. A sage. And then when his thought was fully formed, he now looked upon New Covenant Church. And these are the words that came out of the mouth of the Lord. He said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. I don't know the last time I ever heard anybody say that a poor person is blessed. His ways are not our ways, His thoughts. He just does not think the way you will normally think. You may be coming into church this morning and you're not feeling totally blessed, and your spirit is very low. What you want is to get out totally of that situation that you are in. You came to the crusade, you came to church hoping for a miracle. Some of these people, the Bible says in Isaiah that the poor, no, actually in the book of Matthew, when John the Baptist sent to the Lord saying, are you the Messiah or shall we expect any other? It was because there was really no extraordinary thing happening as of that time. He had already declared the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Savior, the Son of God, in whom the Father is well pleased. And yet there was nothing happening. So he wanted to be sure. He said, are you really the one? Is this really the Messiah? John the Baptist was not seeing what he expected to see. So the Lord Jesus Christ gave him a sample. He called a few, performed a few miracles, and he told the disciples, go tell John what you saw. Yes, miracles may not be happening. What you expect may not be what you're seeing. The way you expect to feel in Jesus may not be the way you're feeling. But blessed are you, poor. What does the word of Christ do to you as you listen to that? It would have been better if the Lord had said, let a poor say they are rich. That's a much more, that's a better verse to memorize and reiterate, right? He could have had them jump up and say, repeat after me 7 times. I am not poor, I am rich. Say, I am rich. People, we are not saying I'm rich. No, the Lord, his thoughts are not our thoughts. He looked at the most miserable people, people who just got beaten by their husbands, people poor in spirit, Matthew says. Poor, Luke said. He looked at them, people who are totally broke, people who are under the bondage of the Roman soldiers, people who want, people who are miserable, people who are artisans, people who are down on their luck. And he looked at them with his eyes filled with grace and his hands stretched out to you. And I'm sure at the fringes were the comfortable, the learned, the educated, the rich. He did not speak to them first. He looked at them and he did not call a fish to bring money out of its mouth to say, now, rich are you poor? The Lord was seeing things that nobody in that crowd was seeing. And he said, blessed are you poor. I want to encourage your heart this morning. If you started serving Jesus in fervency, and it has been a long time, and you are still poor in spirit, or you are poor in naira, or you are poor in dollars, or you are poor in sedans, what do we spend? Yale. In Leons. Blessed are you. If you think time is running out, I'm not achieving anything, blessed are you. Look, I have been there. I have been to places of anxiety in my life. It's not because you do not know. Christ says so that you may know again. Let me give one advice in church, especially to you people here who are counselors. You see, no matter how high a prayer warrior you are, when someone comes with you with a problem, please try as much as possible that the first thing you say is, especially if you know you can't do anything about it, don't say, come. Let me pray for you. This is horrible. Kneel down, let's pray together. You may depress the person more. Look for hope. Reach for hope. When someone talks to you about their problem, you may depress the person more. If you truly believe that the place of Christ is a place of redemption, give them hope. Remind them. The Lord says, blessed are you, poor. Because guess what? You are better positioned for the kingdom of God. His ways are not our ways. His methods are not our methods. Blessed are you who hunger now, because you will be filled. How does that make you feel? That sorrow may endure the night. Now, please look up for a moment. I'm always reminded of this. We've been together. I don't know why we're not making a big deal of this. I think I'm the only one in church that is making a big deal of this. Does New Covenant Church realize that this is the 20th year that God has been gathering us together? In other churches, they would have called it will be a big deal. We'll have an anniversary theme from January to December. But we're very plain people. Nothing is a big deal in New Covenant. But when I meditate on it, this is the 20th year. In 20 years, we have been peaks and valleys together. We have buried many souls, many bodies, no soul, in this little church. We have had different trials. We've celebrated all kinds of things. All of our valleys, we've had peaks. Isn't it true that in Christ it is always well? Can we not truly testify to the faithfulness of God? That the Father who carried the burden of yesterday is ready with the solution of tomorrow. Yes. We've had only one weapon. We pray. That's all we've done. Together, we call on the name of the Lord in trembling, in fear, many times. Did the Lord Jesus not call upon his name in trembling and fear? Have you not heard, my Father, my Father? So if you feel too spiritual to be weak, number one, it's fake. The best of Christians tremble when life shows you. The Lord will take you to a place where you are out of control. And then you'll be strengthened. The Lord Jesus, the King of glory, had to go, my Father, why have thou forsaken me? David said, why do you hide your face, O Lord? Why do I cry all day long and you hear me not? Have you forgotten to be merciful? That's David. Joseph went, well, I've been praying. When you get to the king, what was his name? Pharaoh. Please remember me. After praying for so long. Elijah, who had seen fire come down from above, was so scared. He ran to the raven. He said to that riverside, said, Lord, just kill me. This trouble, this Jezebel, this trouble is too much. Just kill me. In each one of those, there was deliverance, and there will be. Blessed are you. Are you brokenhearted? He said, yours are the kingdom. If you are hungry, he guarantees you will be filled. Please do not leave Jesus. The only trouble is when we start suffering or going through things, and we begin to go to Assyria and to Egypt for redemption. Just stick with it. Remember this sermon. The Lord did not give money. He gave hope. Because hope does not fail. Hope does not put to shame. For the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts. Blessed are you. Blessed are you who weep now. I mean, what Christ is saying is so contrary to what we're inclined to say or believe. Blessed are you who weep now. I mean, who sees someone weeping and feels they are blessed? He did not say, wipe away your tears. He did not say, why do you weep? He said, if you only knew the end of this story, that weeping may endure the night, but joy will come in the morning. Blessed are you who weep now, because you will laugh. Who can make these promises? You see, a royal king will say, bring out our best clothes. Call the drummers. Cover him with my cloak. We immediately take the problem away, only solving it superficially. But Jesus has come to bring an everlasting hope. He guarantees that as many as follow him and are weeping now, they will laugh. My question to you, brethren, is do you believe it? Because this is the anchor of our faith. If you truly believe it, you will follow Jesus to the end. I was saying to Eniola when I met her during the week, I thought she had a fracture. I thought she had a sprain. So I was making fun. I said, no problem. You'll be fine. Eniola had a soccer incident. I'll say no pain, no gain. In Christianity, it is no pain, no gain. Name all the characters in the Bible. Tell me which one of them you would like to swap your life with. Which one of them rode to heaven without trials? Is it Rachel? She was a spy. Or Rahab, right? She was a spy. If the king had gotten her, she would have been killed. A prostitute. David, I hope you don't want the burden of David. I hope you don't. Several times we've learned how the man had to pretend he was a madman, ran to his enemies, lived in wilderness, gathered around himself. People, if David was alive, he would be, I don't know, he was hanging with vagabonds. I don't know who I would compare him. Who would be a rebel? I don't know. You didn't want to be in his crew. Your father was, I didn't send you to school to hang out with vagabonds, to be the leader of robbers and bandits. He wouldn't make any of our parties. Joseph, these are God's dearest people. Would you like your life to be like Joseph? Really? Do you know how close he was to being killed? Thrown in a pit by your own brothers? That's quite a life story. Had lofty dreams, ended up in the pit. Would you like trying to be a slave from like age 12 to like age, I don't know, 18, 19? Just a slave, someone's property. And God loved him. You like to be Isaac? Really? Son of a rich man, living from tent to tent? Really? With your wife deceiving you? Rachel? With Leah problem there? No, I mean every character. Is it Paul? 2 Corinthians 10 or 11, he listed his life. Shipwrecked 3 times. Beaten with rod 39 times. In danger of the road. Hunger. I don't think we'd like to be our Lord Jesus Christ. That burden will be too broad for us to bear. Everybody, I was reading about London Mission Society and the history of mission in continental America, in the Pacific Ocean, all the islands. And I read about the first 5-6 missionaries, I heard the reading on radio, that went to Hawaii. Out of all of them, once they were dropped, they were there. There was no ship. Those were days before ships went all around the Pacific Sea. No supplies, no nothing. Out of all of them, only one remained a Christian out of the pressure. God's people went through a lot of things. So our momentary light afflictions will only work for us a greater weight of glory. Anything we're going through, blessed are you. The end will be fine. Let's always learn to listen to the voice of Jesus. If we can only hold on, our lives that look so long, they are only like a vapor. One day we're going to behold Jesus face to face. Let us set our minds on preparing to beholding the Lord face to face. I pray that we will not define our lives by all of our challenges. Let us define our life by the way God sees it, by that joyful day of consolation for all the saints of God. This is our hope as Christians. 22, blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you, when they cast your name as evil. These are not nice things. Do you think you're really misunderstood? You think you're excluded? You think they cast your name as evil? Jesus says you are blessed. Sister Emisi, are you beginning to wonder how that could even be possible? Do you feel blessed in your troubles? Let's be honest. It really doesn't feel like blessing. And it's because it doesn't feel like blessing that Jesus is telling us it's blessing. And whether we like it or not, maybe not to us, but majority of Christendom, every time I send my children to school, every time I receive them back in peace, I remember Sierra Leone. I remember Syria. I remember Nigeria, Northern Nigeria. Anytime I drive into corporate America, I remember, and just on the basis of the qualifications, the fair qualifications, fair assessment of my qualification, I have opportunities. I remember Christian brothers and sisters that do not have this. I remember countries. I remember there are Christian refugee children now whom God loves as much as he loves you and I, who are not going through that. Every time we say thank you, do not be self-absorbed. Know that in reality, there are saints alive who are beloved like you and I, who are not enjoying the same. Every time I've learned to pray, thank you for good governance. If not for good governance, we wouldn't be here. And even as we're here, let us remember that this is not the norm. This is an exemption across the globe. And to all of those suffering saints, Jesus is saying, blessed are you. May the Lord help us find blessedness in suffering. May he help us find insight. Paul said, may the eye of your understanding be enlightened. I pray that the Lord will steal our resolve. I pray that the Lord will help us to live above all of these anxieties of the world. I pray that the Lord will help us to keep our goal, to look forward for the. I pray that neither poverty nor wealth, neither health nor sickness, none of these things will move us. I pray we will be the same people, whether we have billions or we have zero. I pray that our souls will be constant, that we will see what Jesus saw that made him able to sacrifice his flesh for the glory of God. I pray that our faith will be about deeper things, eternal things, so that when Jesus comes, as one, we'll be gathered at the feet of Christ. Blessed are you. There's no sorry Christian. He may be broke today, he's blessed. God's promises are yea and amen. Let's place our hopes. He said, woe unto the man who trusts in the flesh, for the arm of flesh will fail you. But blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord. May our hearts grow more and more as we walk with Jesus. Let the world look at us and wonder. May the anchor of our souls truly anchor our souls. Blessed. I'd like to read something, say something, and then we close. Lord, it's so hard to count ourselves blessed when we're suffering. It's so hard. Lord, help us to. We ask for the grace, Lord, to count ourselves. It's so hard, aside from you, Lord, Lord, please help us. This is the salvation that you bring in Christ. This is your message. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the good news that miserable, weak as we are, that you have come to empower us. You've come to do a new thing. A new thing. You've not asked of us things. But Lord, you've come to recreate yourself in us. Lord, please do not sit in judgment against us. Help us, Lord, the way you brought us to faith. Strengthen us in faith. In Jesus' name. Then the Lord said the most amazing thing. Verse 24, Sister Tom. What did he say? No, they will roll it up for you.
Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation.
The Lord had his head down. Then he lifted it up and began to instruct his people. And he saw all kinds of people. And unlike any other preacher, any other savior that I know, his heart reaches out. He sees the things that are not obvious. He sees things that are in contrast to what we tend to see. When you see those who are rich and comfortable, you say they are blessed. Ah, that man is really blessed, though. I think we should start saying that man is really woe, though. You must ask, but why? Why? Has it not been proven that in trials, temptation, and poverty, we tend to draw more close to God than in comfort and convenience? Isn't that true? That was what Christ saw. I think David also saw it in the 83rd Psalm. He said, I'm sure this was when he was in, let's look at it. When he was in, he was in the wilderness. Is it 83rd or 73rd? It's 83rd, right? It's 73rd. Okay, in the 73rd Psalm. I'll read it quickly. Okay, time has gone. I want you to listen to this. And as you go, my goal this morning, and I pray the goal of the Holy Spirit, as I stand there and the Lord put it, is that those who come here miserable, feeling unfortunate, we go home hopeful. And those who come on cocky and self-assured, we go home sober. That's just the goal of this service. So that we can go and reassess ourselves and bless the Lord and see ourselves only relative to God's word this morning. That's the goal. So we'll say this, I'll read it. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are of a pure heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled and my steps had nearly slipped. Why? Because, you know, I was envious of the boastful. Is someone here envious of? Oh, they have a private jet. How? That man, Oti law. Ah, that woman. Ah, man, Oti hit. People are always, sorry, Sister Jackie. You would have picked up one or two of these things over the last 20 years, right? There we go. So we say, we looked at external things and we oh, Obama, so bright. Wow, I wish I had, what's the wife's name again? Michelle. Look at children, perfect children. Go to their home. I mean, you don't even go to their. Let's even assume it's all true. I don't know about past President Obama. If today you receive the free gift and the assurance and friendship of Jesus in your heart, and that's what motivated you to church, you are bigger than any president that ever lived. He said, I looked, the heroes, the footballers, the people that are successful, he said, and my feet almost slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, though they had no pangs in their death. Their strength is firm. They are not believers, yet they are prospering. Their children are having children.
Their wives are starting businesses. Their husbands are going places. They are buying private jets. Land Rover, Range Rover, this Rover, that Rover. And I'm a Christian. It's Friday night prayer meeting. Wednesday evangelism. But look at these people. He said, I looked at their lives, and you know, David said, you know, folks, my feet almost slipped. Because I began to wonder, they had the easier life. There are no pangs in their death, their pains are well, even when they're dead, their pains are well managed. Their strength is firm. They're playing golf at 80-something. They are not in trouble as other men. They are not thinking of mortgage. Nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with indulgence. They don't want to give minimum wage. They have more than their heart could wish for, and they want more. They scoff. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. And they say there is no God. You are wasting your time. Christians, they say, we are the biggest time wasters in the world. They set their tongue against heaven. 10. Therefore, his people return there. The waters of full cup are drained by them. They say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Go away with that Bible thing, Joe. It's not relevant. Look at you. You're preaching to me. What do you have? I've been to Rome. I've been to Italy. I was in Spain the last time. I've been to Abel. Where have you been? What have you seen? I have a degree from Harvard. Mine is from Yale. What do you know? You're speaking to me. Thank God the Lord chose carpenters. Say, so how does God know? Behold, they are ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely, then he said to himself, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. I've totally wasted my time with Christianity. It's not working. People who are not Christians are doing better. Tell me, who are the healthiest people in the world? Are they Christians? For all day long, I have been plagued and chastened every morning. Look at me, I call myself a Christian. It's wahala over wahala over wahala over wahala. If I'd said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children when I thought how to understand this. It was too painful. I tried to figure it out. Why is there so much poverty? Why is there so much wahala in Christianity? Why are you calling me blessed? I don't feel blessed. David said, I almost made a mistake when I thought about the things we are talking about this morning. We're going to close in a jiffy. Do not abandon the hard way. Wide is the way. The gate is made of emerald and diamond, but it leads to destruction. Crooked, filled with thorns and stones and cobbles. And the gate is narrow. You know, you go to some homes. I remember I had some friends when I was in high school. I had different friends. There are some friends that you go to and their homes are remote control. It just, the gate just opens, you know, and you're driving. I have friends that you go to, and you know, this rusted gate, there'll be like gravel on the ground. It's cement that broken up, and then there'll be rusted chain with padlock. So you have to literally pull it, then you squeeze under to enter the house. That is the road to life. And then you go into those homes and you find the finest families you've ever seen. Wise fathers, lovely mothers. And the ones with zoom at times, you enter there and there's sorrow. There's, you know, where's your mom? Hi, kids. I'm going out. Hey, Karama. You know, shut up. Yeah, how's your mother? Bye bye, I'm in a hurry. And then you go to your poorer friends and be like, oh, and you're my Joko. I like to talk to you about things. And then you leave totally. They ate together. Anyway, I digress. Then David said he wondered at these things. So I went to the sanctuary of God. Then I understood. I understood what? What is the end of what we pursue? It is because of that end that the Lord looked at you. We look at the present and we say we're miserable. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. I don't know what the situation. Hang on. God of comfort will be with you. Some people's stories are straight. Yours may be. Hang on. You are blessed. I read a phrase in the New Testament. I think it was 2 Corinthians this week. It said, rejoice ye barren, for the barren woman has more children than this. You know, the Bible is full of contradictions. But God's word is always true. We'll finish this out. If I'd said, I will speak thus, 15, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful. Then I went into the sanctuary of God. That is when I understood their end. Then he says, surely you set them in slippery places. Michael Jackson, the fame of the world. Surely you have set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terror, as a dream when one awakes. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You hold me by your right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart. Is he your portion forever? Make Jesus your portion. Make Jesus Christ your portion. Blessed are you. This is the song of Christianity, brethren. It's not 1 + 1 is not 2 in Christianity. 1 + 1 is all right. 2 + is always the same answer. All right. No matter how crooked the path is. Remember, Jesus says, blessed are you. Blessed are you. May the Lord comfort us. May the Lord grant us grace. May he make his house palatable to us. May he give us light in our head, in our eyes, that we may see. May the God of consolation console us in all our troubles. May he help us to think different, to act different, to be different. May he equip us to join the throng of saints as we welcome Jesus from above. This is the promise of God. It's the only one that is guaranteed. It is well. It is well. All manner of things shall be well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. This is your word. It's your promise. Comfort our hearts. We confess our weakness, our eyes. At times we are distracted. At times we go away, we step out of the way to look for solutions when things appear not to be working. At times in the pain of our experience, we forget your promise. Lord, give us faithful hearts. Help us to see you in your power. Let your power be manifest in each one of our homes. Make it easy for us to follow Jesus. Please make it easy for us to follow Jesus. Please make it easy for us to follow Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.